This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Episode number 38, where we're discussing world-class championship wrestling. Episode 49 on the network, that is November 27th, 1982, and a happy 4th of July to everyone out there. Hey, and I'm with Kelly, and I'm with Johnny. Kelly, how you doing, man?
Great. Happy belated Canada Day to myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever. John, how you doing, man?
Oh, no. Happy Canada Day, because personally, I'm just like, I'm feeling the least patriotic ever for 4th of July, and I'm fucking tired. So happy Canada Day, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, happy Canada Day. You know, this is a different, you know, we've been getting a lot of Freebirds, right? In this episode, and then the next episode, we don't get any.
Yeah.
Kind of rough, kind of a cock tease in a way.
No, because at the beginning of this show, because you just went right to my point, they show for the first time that I can remember this colorful logo of the whole card, which made me very depressed seeing the same names. But it was almost like, hey, no Freebirds. We don't want any letters. We let you know.
True. But I felt this was the first time they really pushed the main event hard at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So it actually felt like you were trying to build to something.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the rest of the show is kind of a mess for the most part. What do you guys think? Do you think they built it pretty well? Like, they definitely put the gas on Kabuki versus David in the main event for this show.
Oh, yeah, they totally did.
Yeah, totally, with promos from both guys, or well, from David and Gary Hart, right at the beginning, and they laid out the whole card, actually, every match.
Yeah, they did. They laid out the card.
Yeah. So,
but it felt like they tried to build it something, like you don't want to, you know, they try to make it like I can't miss event at home, like you better not turn off the dial until you see this match.
Yeah.
Bro, what do you think, John?
Well, I think a good effort, but I think a lot of dials would still be turned. This show's got a ways to go.
All right. Well, we open up with a David Von Erich promo. And again, he shows he's the best promo of the fucking family. What do you think, John?
Well, first of all, you know, it's champ versus champ. Well, no shit. You got 15 guys and 11 championships. You know, gives a shit. And I thought it was good. Yes, and he is definitely the best of the Von Erichs. But even then, I was just kind of like, it's okay. You know, it's I've seen better for David. But then he got in the line, and he'll get to it again a lot better when he goes, I'll rearrange his face. It's like, oh, yeah, David's the one that can talk and sound threatening. So it was awesome.
Yeah. What did you think, Kelly?
I didn't have many notes on this. I mean, later on, he delivers another promo that's really good. At least by, you know, the standards of the territory and his family. But no, I mean,
that's a caveat.
No, I mean, it was short though. I would like it, you know, it was a confident, little promo. I'll say that.
Yeah. The walking tall baby face promo.
Yeah.
Then we get some justification to us of, I guess Kerry Von Erich was in the hospital because, via a Kabuki leg drop. I don't recall ever seeing this.
We didn't see it. No, sorry.
So are we thinking this really happened, or is this just an angle So something to heat up the feud.
Well, there's a lot we don't see, right? Everything that's going on in the other cities.
Right, but you think if this is a hot angle, they'd have shows.
Yeah, I know.
But they have mentioned it before, though.
Yeah.
That's how Kerry got hurt. They didn't mention it until after he got hurt, so it probably doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know,
he was tied into the bounty, so, I mean...
Yeah.
At least it's, you know, at least there's something going on there. And then we get a Gary Hart interview. What were you with Johnny? What was going on? What was he talking about here?
I don't know, because Gary Hart seemed as fucking meh about everything in this promo than as I did. You know, he's like, oh, that's Gary Hart. You know, he's one of the best promos of all time. And I was kind of like, yeah, it's okay. It's nothing big. I was like,
even Hart. I really enjoyed it because I really liked the... how he referred to Kabuki as the boogeyman. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Kind of making him seem more scarier. They're trying to rebuild his aura in a way. Ooh. And I guess that's what they've been doing with the handicap matches recently.
Oh, yeah.
With
them.
Yeah.
What do you think of it, Kelly?
Like with the David thing, I didn't take too many notes because it was so quick. Just a flash. But, I mean, Hart's, he's really good. He should talk more often. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, great talker. And he has that evil swagger talk to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get our first match of the evening, Kerry Von Erich versus Captain Frank Dusik, which feels like we've seen this thing like 1,000 times already. any new takes on this class? Kelly?
Not a lot. I mean, Dusik's wearing, being 1982, his Minnesota North Stars inspired wrestling tights, yellow and green.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, they had a great team then with Neil Broughton and Bobby Smith and Dino Cicerelli. They were one of the best teams in the NHL. So maybe he's a fan. Anyway, let's see.
So you'd rather talk about hockey than another Captain Frank Dusik match?
Yeah.
I get it.
Pretty much.
Fine. Fine.
Here's another non-match note: is Kerry is now openly kissing female fans on the lips on the way to the ring.
Player.
Yeah.
But when David comes out, he's married because he kisses an old woman.
God,
your boys got to get out there and kiss them bitches. You know, I'm married, Dad. Well, and kiss an old lady.
It was a different time. I don't think that would fly so much today.
No, it wouldn't fly.
anyway.
Can you imagine Roman Reigns come out and kissing the feet?
That'll get him over. Yeah. That's the final piece of the puzzle right there. Start kissing them broads.
I'll just shove your tongue down her throat.
Yeah, Hallie.
Pal.
No, that ship has sailed, unfortunately. So Dusik, we've mentioned this, he's all but a jobber now. Too bad. I mean, he's okay. But yeah, Kerry's discus punch looked really nice, I thought. And Dusik sold it really well. And that's all I got for this one. It was a quick, very quick match.
Yeah, what, any thoughts? Any hot takes, John?
Just that this match started, I went to get the mosquito spray. So I put down my phone. I had my earbuds in. I'm spraying, you know, a little mosquito spray around me. And get back, and it's almost over. But I did hear Jay say, well, you know, I knew that Kerry was only at 90% or whatever. You know, because I'm one of those people who can really see these things. You know, the average eye can't see them, but I knew. Okay, Jay. Yeah. But Nick Carey's promo afterwards, you know, was all I got. You want me to just do that?
Yeah, well, I
have nothing to say about the match.
Well, he's talking about the whole 90%, and he goes, I thought it was at 90%, you know, because my knuckles were a little sore, but I did my discus punch. So I was like, what, was that it? Your knuckles were sore? He's like, I'm not 100% till these knuckles aren't sore. And I laughed about it, but then as we'll see with what's your finish going to be and who gets what, he's putting over that the discus punch is his finisher now. And and is that because seeing that what we see with David later, I go, okay, Kerry, A for effort. You're putting over that it's the discus punch now. I like that.
But we'll see Christmas night, he uses that claw quite
often. He still uses it all the time, but, you know, his...
Yeah, it's like a double finisher, I guess. Yeah. He has the claw and the discus punch.
Yeah. He'll beat a job guy with the claw, but he's not beating, you know, anyone else with it, I don't think. At least not at this time.
You'll get plenty. You'll see Ric Flair bleed for it, though.
They bleed. Hell yeah.
Any thoughts on the promo, Kelly?
Not really. What was the quote? His knuckles won't be sore. Yeah.
When he faces Flair. His delivery sucks. He's just terrible. It's like, God. They should do a gimmick where a heel cut his tongue off. Terrible.
Swallows acid accidentally. Yeah.
Discus punch. I'm just going to randomly drop discus punch every now and then for the remainder of the years we do this show.
I'll hear from you first, Kelly, when I bring this up. Okay. Crowd seems larger. Crowd seems hotter.
Yeah.
A lot more women in that crowd now.
Yeah.
And you know what? It kind of times with the Freebirds, and they haven't even turned heel yet.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Freebirds are the ones bringing this crowd even before they turn heel.
I think it's a combination of the Freebirds and Kerry, and to a lesser extent, David and Kevin.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's kind of like the Charlie's Angels syndrome, where as a kid, you're like, ooh, that Farrah Fawcett. But then you're like, man, then they bring in Cheryl Ladd, and then you're checking out that Jacqueline Smith.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like it becomes... versus one, but then you get the new girl in town, and you're like, whoa, she's smoking hotter, or even hotter, maybe. Or it's just a different flavor.
Yeah, well, the crowds are definitely younger now. I made a note of this in a later match. Younger, hotter. I think we're not getting the musical entrances, right? So I think that helps get the guys over, gets the territory over. Makes them look like rock stars or feel like rock stars. The TV production was innovative. It's a combination of a whole bunch of things. It's definitely not the mid-card. But, no.
You get tugged by one of the Von Erichs.
Yeah, that too.
That's it. That's why the crowds are big. They advertise that shit. Ladies want to get tugged by a Von Erich? Come on down to the Sportatorium. It's ladies' night at the Sportatorium.
Yeah. Fuck the win a dream match with the Rock and Roll Express.
No.
Get the tongue from Kerry Von Erich.
Get a hickey from Kerry Von Erich.
Yeah. Oh. No, but Pete, I think you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100% because the Von Erichs have all been there anyway. You know, maybe not all at the same time, but they've all been there anyway. Freebirds come in and this crowd is hotter than fuck and it seems more crowded. It's got to be the Freebirds.
Yeah, I think they like that Georgia swagger in a way. Then we actually get Bugsy McGraw versus Wild Bill Irwin.
The big one.
And honestly, I thought this was one of Bugsy's better matches we've gotten. It shows that Irwin's a pretty damn good worker. He's kind of like Madrill of the heels.
Yeah.
He's not going to blow your socks off, but he's going to have a good match. It seemed like McGraw was up to brawling with him. What were your thoughts there, Kelly?
Yeah, it was good. Bugsy, I mean, he's got a huge following, and he's not exactly the hippest guy in the territory. I mean, he's a little off the wall and irreverent and all that, but, I mean, the crowd is just nuts for this guy.
Yeah.
Here's a title change alert. Saldi briefly mentioned that the Freebirds are now the American Tag Team Champions, and they actually won the belts the night before, November 26th, against Irwin and Bundy, who were apparently still teaming and still the champs.
Yeah, and they teased that on a couple shows back, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the big brawl.
Hot angle,
and it led to, some matches, I guess. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see any of them.
Yeah.
But
it'd be a pretty damn good feud. Good feud, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's the end of the Irwin and Bundy team, probably.
Oh, obviously, because get where Bundy goes later on. Or is that next episode?
Well, it's already kind of ended on TV with the way Bundy's been acting lately. But yeah, so the Freebirds are now champs, only a month into their run here. I made the note that this was not a bad little match, physical and heated. But it ended with a lame double count out on the apron, one of my least favorite 80s finishes.
You know, I don't mind it if they're building to like a lumberjack match or building to a cage match or something. It just seems,
it just seems lazy. But
the finish is lazy if you don't do anything with it or it doesn't lead to anything.
Well, this is where...
really lazy and like just a cop out for no one doing the job.
Well, this is 1982 world class TV. It's all fucking draws. It's all fucking draws.
All draws, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Well, John, what were you thinking about this match? Do you think it was one of Bugsy's better matches we've seen?
From what I saw of it, yes, because I got writing some stuff down and got into that. And then I looked up and I'm like, hey, they're brawling. And then right around at that time, you hear Bill Mercer, who, by the way, we're seeing the progression of Bill Mercer get worse and worse and Jay Salvi get better and better. Yes, and we're going to talk about that over the course of the next two shows. It's wacky. But anyway, he says, if you think Bugsy is just clowns, watch him work. And I'm like, but it's true. And you're right about the Irwin being that's the best fucking take ever, Pete. He's the Al of the heels. That's perfect. And at some point, Bugsy goes, hi, Mom. And I'm just picturing Bugsy's mom in some nursing home. You know, they wheel her in front of the TV and she's watching him on black and white antenna, you know, and that's what inspired him to become a nurse, you know, after he retired, man. It's great. And the fan, as you mentioned, the connection to the fans, you're absolutely right. They're hot for him, especially the young lady. And I do mean young lady wearing a pink sweatshirt that said, what did it say? We love you, Bugsy. Yeah. In big white letters on it. Oh, that's cute. You know what else is cute? As they got done with this match and cut to commercial, a giant close-up of that shirt and her underage tits. Wonderful. Well done.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. My mouth dropped. I was like, what the? Oh, my God.
Now, I do like your talking point here, John, about how Bill Mercer is getting worse.
Oh, boy.
On, I'll agree with you on the interviews, but don't you think he does a great job as the man of the people?
Yes, exactly. He's great at that. He's fantastic. Anything he does live on location is fantastic. Yeah,
the personality pieces, he's fantastic with.
He's great. He's great because he plays... It's fun to watch him play investigative reporter. It's fun to watch him like, oh, we're just going to have a little fun at the water park. That's a puff piece, and now he's Mike Wallace and stuff.
Yeah.
He's great at that stuff, but announcing, truth.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you're happy when we see those segments, but then you're like, God, but he sucks on the commentary. What about you, John? What about you, Kelly? What are you thinking of him on doing the Man of the People versus on location versus his commentary? I mean, do you think the good outweighs the bad or what?
Yeah, he's more natural doing the vignettes and stuff. I guess that's more of his newscaster persona or whatever. But as a wrestling commentator, I don't think he's ever been like mentored by anybody. He's just
not a true fan.
No, exactly. Maybe not a true fan. He's kind of just winging it. And
yeah, I think he likes it. I think he likes to do his on location shoots.
Yeah.
I think he likes the paycheck. I think he likes being recognized by people on the street because of the wrestling. This is the celebrity that comes to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a fan of wrestling in and of itself. And I bet you they still kayfabe him in a way. I mean, I don't think it was a deep, deep kayfabe, but I think they still kayfabed him on certain things.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he just doesn't have passion for.
Like, I bet you they're kayfabe and him and Saldi on finishes.
maybe.
They don't even like tease like what they don't even tease anything, like they have any inside knowledge whatsoever. Speaking of On Location, we get David Von Erich at the ranch. Again, David shows why he's the best fucking promo in the family.
Oh boy!
Can you imagine Carrie trying to carry this segment?
No,
it'd be terrible. What do you think of this, John?
Well, as much as we just praise Bill on his for his On Location stuff, I'm going to proceed to make fun of him in this one. But because he's doing the voiceover onto the ranch, David Von Erich, a loyal family type.
What does that mean?
And so David's standing there, and I'm next to his horse, and I'm thinking, I'm like, he's so tall. Look how tall he is. I was like, he makes that horse look like a pony. And then I went, wait a minute, is that a pony? I don't know. Is that a pony? Pete, is that a pony?
I don't think so.
Oh, you're from Texas. You're the only person I could ask. And her name is Sissy. Hi, this is Sissy. Now, Sissy works because you're seeing calm Carrie. I'm sorry, calm David. And he's with his horse or his pony or whatever the fuck it is. And he's calm. He's where he's at the ranch. It's where he feels the most at home. This is the first of a duo of these. This one's better. And so Sissy keeps him calm and whatever. And he starts talking about what he's going to do to Kabuki. And he's calm at first. And when he turns it up, he's on fire. He doesn't start hot. He starts soft because it makes sense because of his surroundings. Goes hot, and it's awesome. And he gets the line in again. I'm going to rearrange his face, and it's fantastic. And then Phil Mercer goes after this on fire, violent promo. I'm going to rearrange your face. I'll break your leg. You know, and shit. He goes, thanks, David. Thanks, Sissy. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? But yes, he's great at it. But this time it was a hit and a miss for him. But David was on fire.
Yeah.
Kelly, what were you thinking about this?
Yeah, well, this was the one I referred to earlier about David being like really confident, strong, and intense. And yeah, just a really good promo. Hard to believe that he's related to Carrie and Kevin sometimes.
It really is. I mean, it's like the art of the promo. It's so ridiculous.
You got a family, eventually five kids, whatever, it's like, what are the odds that any of them are going to be good actors? It's amazing that there's one.
Yeah.
True.
He's the most like Fritz. I mean, it's been said a million times, but
totally.
He's definitely the most like Fritz, David.
Then we get a Gary Hart promo, right? Well, what's going on here, John?
Well, okay, so Gary Hart is going to explain about the check. He has a perfectly rational explanation. And here, Gary Hart is fantastic because he isn't yelling. He's simply explaining a misunderstanding. And he goes, of course I wrote a check to Ricky Flair for $12,500. You see, Ricky Flair, he wanted one of those Cadillacs.
He wrote the check to Gary Hart.
He wrote the check to me, yes. He wanted a Cadillac station wagon, and you could only get them here or something like that. And yeah. So it cost $10,000. It was $2,500 for my services, which that was good. He's like, hey, look, I'm not a dummy, and that's all it is. And that was the explanation. Click it. All I thought was, what the fuck is a Cadillac station wagon? I don't know what that is. Is that for Ric Flair's wife to drive to the grocery store? She rolls up in the Cadillac station wagon.
Yeah, I was like, is this a Hearst?
She's going through the aisles wooing when she gets a sale and shit. Cadillac station wagon. I'd love it. He's so calm. He's not angry. He's like, oh, it's all just a big misunderstanding.
I love his calmness to the promo. Where as an audience member, if you don't know wrestling, You can honestly, man, you know, you might be telling the truth, you know? You'd be a dumb dummy, but, you know, there's that possibility.
If you're that Gary Hart heel fan out there, he's like, see, it's a perfectly rational explanation.
It's like, that's how I'm going to lie to my mother from now on.
he's teaching children how to lie correctly. Just keep cool.
Don't throw the temper tantrum. Don't pretend like you're not hiding anything.
Oh, boy.
Kelly, would you like this piece of business?
Oh, totally. You know, I love Hart, and I love, his rational, calm explanations and how he's not your typical, screaming, sneaky, dishonest heel. I mean, he's dishonest, but he's a lot more subtle about it than a lot of heel managers.
Yeah, he doesn't play it over the top like 90% of them would, mm-hmm. The great ones, they try to bring an arc, it's like that arc of realness to it.
Yeah, it's very believable.
And very method in a way.
Yeah.
It is actually method because that's the way he grew up around on the streets around a lot of gangsters. And gangsters aren't always trying to yell at each other. There's a lot of cool, just let me explain myself, shit. So
cool calculating assassins,
Right.
Mm-hmm. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceofNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceofNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceofNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceofNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Man, and then we get Killer Kim Brooks versus Mr. Two Star Al Madrill, Cali. Did he get two stars out of Killer Kim Brooks?
I didn't rate this one, but I liked it.
Oh, I was actually thinking while watching this match, I'm sorry, I'm thinking, of all people, is Killer Kim Brooks gonna be in a 3-star match with Al Madrill? I can't wait to hear. And you're like, I didn't bother.
Yeah. No, for some reason I didn't rate it, but I know I liked it. I really like Killer Tim Brooks. I think he's been really good since he's returned to the territory. I would go as far as saying he's one of the best workers in the territory since returning. And he's so scummy. He's like a drifter hobo. That's what he was doing. He was just drifting around the streets.
I was like, what do you mean like?
Yeah, exactly. He is. Yeah, but of course we have David Manning in this, and we all know the history he had with Brooks. So
we'll get to that.
In kayfabe, should he be refereeing Killer Tim Brooks matches? You know, it's kind of a conflict of interest or whatever here. Anyway, so Saldi really shines on commentary in this one.
Boy, does he. All is forgiven, Jay.
Yes, he is improving. And he brings up Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Yet again, Hogan's his favorite. But he also brings up the Superfly. Not Jimmy Snuka, the Superfly. Remember him? Ray Candy that just vanished into thin air.
he vanished into fat air, you mean?
Yeah. He was the hired guy.
Well, he went to Mid-Atlantic. That's where he went.
Okay, he got a better offer, I guess, but he was never really written out of the story. And
yeah, he was like, you mean I gotta wrestle in the sportatorium in the summer in this fucking suit?
Yeah.
Fuck you, I'm gone.
I just remember he had multiple two-tone suits. I loved his commitment to the gimmick that he actually went out and got like 3 of them made. Anyway, we'll miss you, or we miss you already, the Superfly. Brooks and Manning get into it. Fuck off with that shit. But then Saldi, and here's where Saldi also shines, because he's totally against Manning getting involved.
It's awesome that you're Jay. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I'll let you flesh that one out, Johnny. But super comeback by super fired comeback by Al. Crowd was going batshit at the end, slugfest. But we get a time limit draw, which,
no,
you know, you got to have every variation of the draw in a card.
I know.
It's the art of the draw. Should have been a book that Gary Hart wrote.
That's great. It would look exactly like the Dickhead one, Dickhead's book, but just with Gary Hart, and that's a different name.
But I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, I thought it was solid, and I'm with you. I think Killer Brooks is a little more motivated than normal, because I've seen enough 15-minute headlock snooze fest from Killer Brooks to know when he's has a little pep in his step, and he has it here. Al's fired up, but then, you know, I watched this mid-card match, and I'm like, man, in 1983, we'd be getting Chris Adams versus Jimmy Garvin. You know, way better stuff, and this is what we're getting here. This is like, you know, it's like having a McDonald's burger, burger versus In-N-Out or Whataburger or something.
Yeah, you're like, you know, I'm hungry and I want something fast. I go, I guess a McDouble will be okay just this once, but, you know, it'll do.
But we only get that Chris Adams and Jimmy Garvin feud, and that's animal style In-N-Out. What do you make of the match, Johnny, and then the ensuing this afterwards?
Well, as far as Killer Tim Brooks goes, right here, though, he looks great. He's in good shape here, too. I mean, I always remember Killer Tim Brooks with a pot belly.
Yeah.
With that look. He is lean and mean. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm right here. And apparently Al was ill. Al had been ill recently. I was like, really? Because he hasn't been off television, apparently. And so the match is fine. Whatever. I liked it. Every time I looked at it, liked it well enough and went, yeah, it's pretty good. Brooks looks great. But let's get to some of this commentary, shall we? Jay says, and I don't blame Jay on for this at all, because this is like, I think Jay's like saying, like, I know I'm out of here. I'm just going to speak my fucking mind. Because he's talking about the possibility of Al Madrill challenging for whatever belt that David holds, I guess, the American.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, you know, he probably wanted, you know, he challenged for that, but I just figure he's happy enough to let Von Erich hold the belt. And there's a long pause, and Bill Mercer goes, Killer Brooks. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And Jay gets in a great line. They say, because he's from Waxahachie, Texas. And Jay says, everybody knows about Waxahachie, like it's nasty and mean. And Bill goes, yes, lovely Main Street. I was like, fuck you, Bill Mercer.
what are you doing?
What are you doing? And Jay gets in this line, which is great. I don't care if he loves Hulk Hogan. He wants to talk about Hulk Hogan. Oh, fine. Let him talk about Hulk Hogan. He gets the point in that H&H needs Bundy to handle guys like Andre and Hulk Hogan when they come through or something, basically. I was like, well, Andre does come through. He wants to talk about Hulk Hogan. I just laughed. I went, what the fuck are you talking about? Even Dizzy Hogan won't work here. Hulk Hogan. But yeah, who gives a shit? And the crowd was so hot wanting to see Al kick Brooks' ass. I thought that was great. And then the Manning shit happens. Just one brief thing. They bring it up. And dude, everything's in capital letters all over the paper here. Hold on. He's like, Jay calls it out. I love Jay. And Jay just goes, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm like, me too, Jay. And then I think, wait a minute. I get a germ of an idea, but is this possibly being used to when they get to you have to choose what referees the match for Kerry and Flair? It's a way to make sure people don't vote for Manning. Oh, that's stupid. That's like they'd honor a real fan vote. I'm an idiot. No, never mind. And Jay gets in this line, or maybe Bill. It was Jay. I love it. He goes, someone in the ring, you know, got a mush nose. And he goes, yeah, you hit like that, you get a nose like the Checkmates. I was like, what, under a mask? Okay. And then it's almost like he has to kind of apologize. You know, maybe someone told him off camera. He goes, not taking anything away from David Manning. You know, he normally knows how to handle himself. Then it's a fucking draw. And after the draw, Jay doubles down on Manning, going, but you know, that's you know, you don't, referee doesn't, you know, put a hands on there. And we know they have a history. He's just preaching the gospel. And I was like, fuck yes, Jay. It was awesome. And he doesn't quit. He brings it up next show. He sticks with this narrative, and I love him for it. He can say whatever the fuck he wants from now on. I don't care. He's my favorite guy right now. I don't give a shit. As long as he points shit out like that, fine. Make as many Bill Aftermagnet references as you want, brother.
But now I want a Bill Mercer on location in Waxahachie. That's how we say it. Antique shopping with Killer Tim Brooks.
Antique shopping with Killer Tim Brooks.
Interesting.
This is a lovely Main Street.
And that just dribbles us into the main event, David Von Erich versus the Boogeyman, the Great Kabuki. What were your takeaways here, Kelly?
Oh, I really like this match. Really good, heated, and a lot of energy. And David, he's besieged by autograph seekers before the match, and this is where I made the note that you can feel the territory, or the fans are getting younger and good looking and all that, and the rock stars, or they're coming off as rock stars. And David took a beating early on, a lot of big bumps. Then he gets busted open, I think maybe hard way. It wasn't a major cut or anything, but it added to this match.
Wasn't it on his hand?
Was it? I thought it was just above his nose.
Yeah, it was above his nose.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was just a nick, but enough to add a little violence to it.
He starts biting it, so it works. You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he worked it. Another great high knee by David. And a stomach claw. It got pretty violent. This is where the blood was dripping a bit on Kabuki when David was working the claw. I like that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was one drop. It just went bloop, on it, yep. And it looked awesome. It was a great lucky shot.
Yeah, that's great. Right. When they had a close-up, right, as a close-up. And, yeah, things get crazy with Hussein eventually getting in the ring. And Dragon interferes, got a schmoz. Kerry gets involved and cleans house. But, yeah, I really like this one. I did rate this one. I give it 3 stars, actually. And, I mean, Kabuki's had some really strong matches over the course of 1982. He's had some weak ones. But he's had a lot of the most memorable matches have involved Kabuki, actually, that we've seen.
Because he's the only heel worth his shit, when you think about it.
Yeah.
He's the only heel with any heat in the territory besides Bundy for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And David's been very solid in 1982 as well.
I'm kind of with you. I didn't like it quite as much as you, but one of the things, I mean, you hit everything pretty well, but the one thing I also liked was how Kabuki slapped on that nerve hold, and then we got more visual of the blood, where we got really get a good close-up of David with the blood. Mm-hmm. So the nerve hold actually really works in the moment and the setting and stuff. Johnny, what were your thoughts on the match?
It was awesome. I enjoyed it. As Bill called it, a breathless event. And before it happened, a breathless event. And it's Hussein, so I'm like, I guess Hart only shows up for pre-tapes. And you go do this shit. And the progression of letting them know that David has the claw now is great because he tries, he misses. He tries, he misses. He gets stomach claw. Okay, fine. But then later in the match, no, he does get it. It's a great build to the head claw. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I love it. And Jay says, Jay goes, you know, I just don't think that Kabuki is as effective without Gary Hart. I was like, even he hates Hussein. Oh, Jay. you're the best, man. Because then Bill says, he calls Kabuki, there he is, the little man from Singapore. You stink. You stink. And then immediately I'm like, ooh, blood. You know, that makes everything better. And Jay has a great call because even though later you see that Kabuki's face paint is completely fine, it doesn't matter because David's got a lot of the green on him from the hands. And Jay goes, blood, is it blood? I think it might be bleeding. Is it blood? Or it could be some of that paint. There is red paint in there. And there's a little pause so they get a different camera shot. And he goes, that is blood. He is bleeding. I was like, fuck it. Right on, Jay. And then Bill says, he's describing Kabuki, his looks. He says, he uses the term, the unhandsome face of the great Kabuki. And Banning's got to get involved in his own way because right when that hard camera's on, he's got to be yelling at Hussein when he shouldn't be yelling at him. He should be keeping his eye on the match and not in a kayfabe way, in the actual way. Just why are you yelling at him right there? He's just yelling. He's not trying to get on the apron. He's just yelling. You don't get into an argument with him. Fuck you. And Bill gets off the line. It's like a championship box fight.
Box fight, that's right.
Like, I haven't been to many of those. Fuck you. And then they're turning after a backdrop. He says, David tossed him like a loaf of bread. What the fuck is going on? And The sleeper spot was great because David's doing the old "I'm putting Hussein to sleep" bit, and Kabuki's slowly rising and slowly rising, and he's going to sneak up on David, and he's going to get him, and the crowd is – the tension is rising. They're getting louder and louder and louder, and David times it perfectly to move out of the way so Hussein gets hit and turns around and put the sleeper on Kabuki. And I was like, "Ah, that's perfect." And then they had to fucking do a carry run in and everything. I can't remember exactly how it ended, but
Dragon got involved.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. It was during the promo. He's showing the blood on his hand, and I was next time it's not gonna be my blood, it's gonna be his blood. And fuck yes. And he's going off, and in the middle of him going off, just as he's taking a breath, Bill goes, "And Kerry," and David just goes, "No," and just keeps fucking yelling, "What the fuck are you doing going to Kerry, you fucking moron?" You know, and finishes up this real quick, great, "I'm going to kick the shit out of you" promo. That was aces. And then as they're going to the comeback next week, where we're going to have this match, and after this blood-curdling promo, he goes, "And hunting with the Von Erichs." Like, is David gonna cut a promo like that on the Ducks before he fucking kills him? Because then I'd be interested in watching a family go fucking hunting. But David Von Erich is fucking outstanding here. Oh.
Yeah, and then they tease a Kerry Kabuki next week revenge match. And yeah, well, they made it switch to us because that never happened next week. So, fuck. what were your thoughts, Kelly? You already talked about it. What were your thoughts on the promo, though?
David really fired up. But yeah, I mean, the match was great. And then you have this afterwards. And yeah, you want to see more. And, at least we had this match.
And then, you know, what also helps in the promo is that he's all full of sweat from the fucking match. And so the fired up promo even comes across even more authentic, if you will, and stuff. Man, so that's this episode. We've learned David Von Erich smokes all the brothers on promos. Kerry's definitely the chosen one still. Kevin was not around this week, and audience is getting bigger. But it looks like they did a good job of building to the main event. There's a lot of clunkers in between, but, you know, a typical world-class championship wrestling. Any final thoughts on this, Johnny?
But there's also, we saw with some new graphics, and as we'll see some more new production things, it's the cogs are slowly forming together. You know, and we're starting to see, from even the presentation, we're starting to see where it's going to get in a short time. So, but yeah, those clunkers are, you know, pretty clunky.
Yeah. What about you, Kelly?
I thought it was one of the better episodes of the last month or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot to like. But.
Yeah.
Oof. When you're a guy who focuses on commentary, you're like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no, there's so much wrong still with this territory, but the good outweighed the bad on this episode, I thought.
Yeah, the effort was definitely there. Any plugs, Kelly?
Yeah, I want to plug the new and improved ProWrestlingOnly.com.
All right, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Charles bringing the content, baby.
Yeah, basically, I mean, without PWO, none of us would have ever got together.
Right, of course.
Yeah, we wouldn't be making podcasts together, and we've been doing that for 5 years. And it's a really great board. It was a message board for years, you know, where you could talk about everything wrestling-wise, of all eras, of all countries, of all styles, and, you know, a lot of really intelligent posters and great discussion. And now it's been revamped into a actual website. And Charles Loss is his handle there. He's the man behind it all, and he's really, he's got a lot on his plate right now, and I hope it all works out for him, because it's got...
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah,
click on those links if you're going to go use any of those yeah. links, man. Help Charles out.
Yeah, it's
oh, got, yeah, guys, I mean,
great
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's got great potential for being something, you know, amazing.
Well, yeah, but he's going to have on it, like, match reviews, but in his style, mm-hmm. and there's going to be content and articles and shit like that, and that's what's growing into. So for anybody out there who listens to us, who, you know, is out there, who only heard of us one way or the other and doesn't know about PWO or only knows about the message board, you know, check this out. Charles is a great dude. He's the only reason we're doing this. Him and Will came up with a place. And so, you know, check it out. You know, PWO was very different when it first started than other places, and it's changed a lot, you know. But so there's a creativity to be different with Charles about how he's wanting to approach this. And wrestling websites and out there need to be different. And so people need to get behind this.
Yeah. And I always thought Charles was the best writer on the whole entire board. So.
Oh, yeah, he's a fantastic writer.
Yeah, yeah, he's amazing.
A lot of cool insights. It's from a guy who's watched a lot of freaking wrestling, so... He's just not pigeonholed into one type of style. He's been around and has been exposed to a lot of different styles, and you see that in his writing. And he's a great, insightful dude. You can learn a lot just by sitting under the tree and reading some of those articles. Click those links, help him out. Johnny, anything you want to plug?
Oh, just that.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at Titans O Wrestling, and every weekend, this week in wrestling, we talk what's going on with the indies, NXT, MLW shows, indie shows we're going to. So keep on following that. Have a great week. Keep on watching the wrestling, good, bad, and everything in between. Catch you later.
Why would you want to watch the bad? Oh, we watch the bad.
Yes. We specialize in the bad.
Yes, that's our job.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. Like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.